Hallelujah.
Amen. Psalm 33. As we read Psalm 33 from verse 1 and go on to verse 5 and 6, there are a few verses that capture our attention. Reading Psalm 36, amen, praise God, brother. Reading Psalm 36 from verse 1, the Bible says, O praise the Lord, all ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with psaltery and instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud voice. It talks about singing and praising and glorifying him. And then it goes on to give us the reason as to why we need to worship God and praise him. And it goes on to say, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud voice. And here's the reason, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And then the second reason is, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth at the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And here's the third reason. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The fourth reason, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all his children and to all generations. So Psalm 33 is focused on the fact that we should praise God and we should glorify him, because his word alone is truth. His word alone will stand. Today, what we know about the world, what we know about the environment, what we know about our circumstance, we learned from our mom and our dad. Mostly from our mom, because our mom was the one who spent most of the time with us, raising us up. If my mom told me, hey, that thing that is standing tall and looks green and has a bunch of leaves on it, that thing is called a tree, then I learned that that thing that stands in our yard was a tree. If she said this is a house, then I understood that was a house. If she said this was a bicycle, I learned that was the bicycle. I learned to name the things that I see around me from my mom, which raised me up. And today is Mother's Day, so we have a special regard for the moms who raised us up. The Bible tells us that even though we learned everything we need to learn about our environment from our mother who raised us up, after we grew up, we still learn many, many things. We learned how to drive. We learned how to work. We learned how to make a living. We learned how to bring food on the table for our family. We learned about finance. We learned about many things. And we learned about our circumstances. We learned that the stock market crashed by 777 many years back. And since then, there's been an economical downturn in the entire world. We learned that, and we continue to learn, that things are violent. The world is not a very good place to live in right now. It's going from bad to worse. There are many violent people. There are many terrorists. There are people that are crazy, really crazy, kind of people that have never lived since the foundation of the world, that would do something to another family, to another girl, and would not even think, what if this was my daughter? Bible says men shall be violent, and the word of God is coming to pass. Now, what does this all mean? We see our environment, we see our circumstance, we see people on TV saying it's really bad, and we look at the paper, people losing their jobs, the obituary, people getting sick and dying of heart attack, and we think that this is a very bad time to be alive, that it's going to be really hard, the situation is very desperate and dismal. And as we make our conclusions based on what we see around us, and based on the money in the bank, and based on the challenges that we have at work, based on the challenges that we have in our family, based on the physical things that are happening in our mind and our body, there is a chance that we may get depressed. Because the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, "Behold, young men shall become weary and shall utterly fall, and shall have not the strength to run and to move forward. Young men who are considered strong shall give up." Like the billionaire in Europe that committed suicide when the stock market crashed in the US. What relationship did the stock market in the US have to a billionaire in Europe committing suicide? Europe and USA are about a few thousand miles apart, but such is the world. It has become totally related, totally synchronized, that anything that happens in one part of the world affects the rest of the world. This is the new world situation. Young men shall utterly fall and get depressed. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, "The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back and get depressed, I will not be delighted in him. My soul will have no pleasure in him." Hebrews 11 is full of the heroes of faith who believed in God regardless of what they saw. If we make our conclusions based on what we hear, what we see, what we think, what people tell us, based on our six senses, then the Bible tells us that God will have no pleasure in us. Our conclusion should not be based on our senses, our physical senses, like, you know, a dog can smell a rat half a mile away. That's a physical sense. We can see a guy with a loaded gun coming to rob us. That's our physical sense. We can read the paper and understand that the employment rate is going to approach 9.5%. That's our physical sense. But if we make our conclusions based on our physical senses, then the Bible tells us that God will not have pleasure in us. The Bible tells us that the children of Israel that went and walked with God in the wilderness failed to understand that God's word alone is true. They made conclusions based on what they saw. When they saw Pharaoh and his army and they saw the Red Sea, they said, "We are doomed. We are going to perish in the wilderness." And that irritated God. Because God said, his word said, "I am going to take you to a land that is flowing in milk and honey." And instead of trusting God's word, they trusted the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, and their 1-pound brain told them, "Don't listen to Moses. Go ahead and make peace with Pharaoh and become slaves again, because otherwise he's going to kill you, because there's no way you're going to walk through the sea. Who told you? When has it happened?" And so they made conclusions based on what their head told them, not based on what the big book told them, what God told them. So they put man's word and their physical senses above God's word. And it happened 10 times. And they perished in the wilderness. None of the generation that were left Egypt that lived by their 6 senses, except Caleb and Joshua, entered into the land of Canaan. And God said about Caleb and Joshua, "These are the people who don't walk according to their mind. They walk according to my word. Because the mind controls all the senses. The mind makes the conclusions. And the mind makes you react. But Caleb and Joshua did not react based on the mind. They reacted based on what God had told them. Not what their head told them, or their heart told them, or their eyes told them. But Caleb and Joshua reacted based on what God told them. Because they knew that the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. The Lord spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Many times in our life, God will tell us it is completed even before we can see it. Elijah prayed and told his servant, go look up. And the servant said, I can't see a thing. And he prayed again 7 times and sent his servant the 7th time and said, look up. And he went and looked and came back and I saw a cloud like the hand of a man rising up in the sky. The prayer of Elijah to God brought rain upon the land of Egypt. God told Abraham he'll be the father of many nations even before Isaac was conceived. So are we going to believe God, or are we going to believe the doctor? Are we going to believe God's word, or are we going to believe the economist? Are we going to believe God, or are we going to believe the Center for Disease Control? Are we going to believe God, or are we going to believe the authorities? The authorities say what they say because they are humans. They say we are under attack. We've got to be careful. There's terrorism. Everybody be careful. Well, we got to be careful, but that doesn't mean that we have to be afraid. The Bible says almost 365 times, that's one day every year, one day in every year, do not be afraid, fear not, fear not, fear not. My God shall supply all you need. Why did Apostle Paul say, my God shall supply all you need? Because he knew that his God had supplied all his need. But he wasn't sure what God those who call themselves believers had. So instead of saying, your God shall supply all you need, he said, I don't know about your God, what kind of a God you have, but I know that my God, who is Jesus Christ, shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, because he rose from the dead and the whole universe belongs to him. One day Jesus was taken to a girl's house. This girl was dead. Everyone was weeping because she was dead. And Jesus said, no, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And everyone laughed him to scorn because they didn't believe his word. There was no heartbeat, there was no breath. But you know, to wake up a dead person is as easy for God as it is easy for us to wake up a person who's sleeping. When my wife is sleeping, what do I do? Get up, honey. It's about 8 o'clock in the morning. Get up. The sun's shining. The birds are chirping. The whole world is awake. Get up. Here's some coffee. It's as easy for God to wake up Lazarus, who was dead 4 days in the tomb, and say, Lazarus, come forth. Wake him up right out of his sleep. Dead 4 days. With God, all things are possible. That is why the Bible says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 46, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. It does not matter what happens around us. It does not matter what the verdict is. It does not matter what our head tells us. The counsel of the Lord shall stand forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Just when the devil thought he got us, the trumpet is going to sound, and we are going to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And we are going to be raptured, caught up from this world, raptured into his presence. Why? Because the Bible says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto him be dominion in the church by Christ Jesus to all ages forever and ever." We are not just citizens of the U.S. floating along with the rest of the U.S. We are sons and daughters of Almighty God. We are prince and princesses. We are kings and queens in Christ Jesus. God has called us sons of God. The world may not understand us, but the devil does. And above all, God and his angels do. That's why the devil told to the unbelievers, "I know Jesus and I know Paul." You know, when Jesus came into this world and started speaking his word, the first group of people to acknowledge him was Lucifer and his hosts. And Lucifer and his hosts were the first ones that said, "This is the Son of God. This is God Almighty in the flesh." Because the devil could see that. And the people created in the image of God were so blind that they cannot see that. The same way today, the devil is deceiving the people made in the image of God so he can have a barbecue when they all end up in hell, because he needs company. Because the devil is going to spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. So he doesn't want to spend eternity alone, and he wants to grab more than 90% of this world's population and take them to hell. And so he's got all kinds of these religions. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And he's got our people all confused with logic and with nonsense. And today, in the U.S., even the roof over us is under attack. What is that roof? It's one nation under God. It's under attack. But let's pray that the people who are allowing the roof that is above this nation to be ripped off layer by layer will be removed from authority by the name and the power of Almighty God, because the foundation with which the Lord has laid and started the kingdom of God and this nation is too strong to crack. The word of God, the Bible, is too strong to be attacked. The people who attack the roof will be removed from power by the prayers of the church of Almighty God, because the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. There were four mighty empires in this world: Babylon, Persia, Grecia, and the Roman Empire. And none of them could stand against Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his kingdom, the church of the living God. For the Bible says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us.